You don't worry about it. I want to welcome you to the raw spiel, where we keep it real here. I'm just very glad to have a special guest here, Pastor Michael Boykin. He has his own group that is Pastor Michael Boykin and the Mighty Voices, and also the lead singer for the Supreme Angels. And I tell you, I am very grateful that you took the time out your busy schedule to do this interview. It is an honor to I'll speak with you there.
Not a problem. The pleasure is mine, sir. Glad to be on your program.
Yes, sir. And we'll just get started. Just your mind, just tell us how you got started in the gospel music industry.
Well, I guess both of my parents being pastors and traveling at an early age with my father as he preached different places and people finding out that I could sing. Me and my brothers started over on the quartet side back in the early 80s. Recorded with my brothers and my cousin, my best friend. I think that was around 86, 87. I probably was 6 or 7 years old, somewhere up in there. Started traveling, like most local groups do, and just worked my way through the industry over a period of time.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it started. Start off in the local ranks, and before you know it, you're out there on the road with the big timers there.
Yes, sir.
And you sung with Slim, Supreme Angels. So what? How did you hook up with Slim and Supreme Angels? How did that come about?
That dates back to 1998. I don't know if you remember the Blockbuster that he used to have in Florence, South Carolina. It was a big event with all the gospel artists, and I was down there with the pastor, Dr. L.D. Melvin. I was down there with him playing for his group. At that time, my brother had left the gospel keynotes and were playing for the Mighty Clouds of Joy, Lemmanuel Boykin, which is probably the reason I'm even in quartet or doing this as a career. But I was down there with him, and I was standing backstage with Sugar Hightower. We were just talking, and he told me that Larry Young was about to lead the group, and they will soon be looking for a group keyboard player. And so I was getting ready to leave and thought about it. I said, "Well, I need to cut Sugar my number." I went on the bus, and when I got on the bus, Slim said, "Can I help you, son?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I'm here to give Sugar my number." He said that y'all gonna be looking a keyboard player. And he told me very plain. He said, "Well, son, Sugar ain't got no group, but this is my group." So I gave him my number, and he said, "Next week will be your trial." Well, I missed my trial and came the following week. And I got there, and just so happened he was there when I got there. And he said, "So you supposed to have been here last week." I said, "Reb, I thought it was this week. I clarified it." And so he called Mike and he called Sugar. He said, "Well, if you're going to wait around, we'll wait on you." And so I tried out. And the following weekend, I went to my first show with the Supreme Majors, was in Chicago, Illinois, for the Pilgrim Jubilee's anniversary.
That's all right. That's the story there. So what was it like working for Slim? If you don't mind, like did he have some like tight rules and regulations, for the group? Just give us an idea of what it's like, working under the late Howard Slim Hunt.
He had rules and regulations, and by him being a preacher, he had those guidelines, what you was not and what you could do in his on his bus, off his bus, around his bus, and when you out of his sight, he also had rules. And he taught us young guys, because of course when I got with the group, I was 20. I was 20 years old. So he always told us that, once we got to the concert, that he need for us to put on a suit and look like young gentlemen. not like hooligans. And he often told us younger guys that, which Mike and Sugar and them was pretty much already trained to know what the rules were when I got there. Greg Kelly was still there. And so, he ran a tight ship. And I'm probably, looking back, I think I was the most hired and fired and rehired guy to ever come through the group. Because I was a little rough around the edges. So, when I didn't do right, he'd send me home. And then he'd bring me back. Quincy and them, Maurice, they go fight for me again. They bring me back. And so it was a on and off situation, but it taught me a lot. It disciplined me for what we call in the professional realm, the road. And I learned a lot up on the Reverend House and a whole lot.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And I tell you, I listen to people on different platforms. You know, I know it's unfortunate. You know, it's not just Cortez, but Cortez have a bad reputation. And I know recently. I know nowadays. I listen to some conversations, and they are very, very open about entertainment and competition, and mix that with ministry. So what is your stance on that when people now openly, quartet artists? Again, I know it ain't not just in quartets. I know solos and choirs and preachers and things of that nature. But since we're talking quartet, so what is your take on that? People make it seem like it's possible to not only minister but to entertain and be in competition. So, what is your take on intertwining those three together?
Well, you have to be careful, entertaining people or anything. The Bible even talks about that. I think that being a preacher, you have to walk an even thinner line because people are watching you. And they're even when you don't think they're watching, little children are watching you. So you have to be careful. But I don't think you should be stuck up and in a manner where people can't talk to you or you can't laugh or you can't smile. I think you should be joyful and have fun, but there should be limitations to that. When it comes to the entertainment piece, you got to realize, you got to always take into fact and into consideration, everybody the same gospel isn't saved. And everybody the same gospel don't know the Lord. They don't read their Bible. So some people quote stuff they heard other preachers say or some other group say, and they haven't read the word for themselves to really understand what they're saying. So that's a broad question, but in my own opinion, I think when we're doing God's work, we should be for real, and we should take that seriously. And I think our aim should be is to win souls for the kingdom. And competition, that's always been in the play, even with choirs and solo acts. They compete, they got that thing, we bust the house tonight, or we got in. And, I think that's for people that's unsaved. For those that are of us that are saved and born again believers, we know that it was the anointing and the Holy Spirit that moved in the building. We know it was the Holy Ghost. And so, it's a matter of, it goes back to the saved and the unsaved. And a lot of people don't like to look at it that way, but that's what it is. And, you got people that say they're serving the Lord, but they're really working for the devil. And you got people that's really, truly working for the Lord. You got devils in the church. Sometimes you think it's better to be outside in the world than to be in the church. Because some people in the church are so mean and evil, and they act like people of the world. But we must do as God would have us to do, and that's love ye one another, the greatest commandment. And I think that's key in all things. It gets hard sometimes because our brothers and sisters want to test us, and they want to see if we're really saved. And they want to say, well, if you so saved, you both be turning the other cheek. But sometimes you have to remember that we are human. Even the preacher, he's human. He got a past, you know. And so sometimes they get a little tough. And that's why, you know, I think it's important that we stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God and stay close to God's Word and make sure that we have a relationship with Him and that we keep that intimacy. It's very important with Christ when we're doing kingdom building and kingdom work. And I'm glad. I hope the ones that ain't saved, it's my prayer that they get saved, that they will continue to sing for the Lord, and that one day that song that they're singing about will touch their heart and they will come running. What must I do to be saved?
Well, yes, speaking to Pastor Michael Borkin of the Mighty Voices and the Supreme Angels. And I'll tell you, tell us about the Mighty Voices. How did that group come about?
Mighty Voices came about, I left the Supreme Angels in 2005 to go into radio. I was going to probably be done with my singing career for a while. I just wanted to do something different. And a friend of mine came to me and he said, will you go out to lunch with me? I said, yeah, I'll go out to lunch with you. And he sat down and he said, man, I keep hearing you're going to stop singing. I keep hearing that you through with the industry. I said, well, I'm not through the industry. I said, I'm just going into radio. He said, man, please don't stop singing. He said, please consider, you know, doing something. He said, put a group together and I'll sing with you and so on and so forth. And so I said, I'll think about it. And so he called me again. And when he did, he had the other guys together. And we got together, my cousin, who's gone on to be with the Lord, Marcus Register, Tyrone Stewart, Minister Tyrone Stewart, my baby brother, Jason Borkin, and brother Britton Wims. And we got together and we started a group called Michael Borkin and the Mighty Voices at that time. And the Lord has blessed us 18 years. We signed with two major labels. We signed with Glenn Stevenson and Humility Records Music Group, which is the label that Blessed by Four. And well, when I came there, Blessed by Four was on the label and Pastor Walter Ellis was on the label. And I want to say one or two more. And then later on, the Gospel Legends came on and he built that label. And after I left them, I went with Malico Records. And so we signed with Malico Records in 2014. And it's been a journey with the Mighty Voices. But I can say a lot of that come from my teachings being with Reverend Howard Slim Hunt and things he had taught me and just being around him and seeing and watching. And so we was able to do that. And this year, May 7th, we'll be celebrating 18 years of being together. And we got Pastor Sean Jones and Doc McKenzie and Reverend Matthew Mickey's and many others going to be with us, the McDuffies. So we're excited about that. And if y'all ain't doing that, come on out May 7th to the Clinton Civic Center, 414 Walsall Road, Clinton, North Carolina. We're going to be celebrating 18 years.
Already. Y'all not doing that. Y'all better go and check it out. Sound like a good call out there.
Yes, sir.
And of course, I want to ask you, and see, you're a pastor, so you're the lead singer of the Michael Borkin and the Mighty Voices and Supreme Angels, and you're a pastor. So, man, that's a lot on your plate. So how are you able to, you know, balance all three of those roles, and how are you able to do that?
Well, my role as a pastor is a little different than most. My father, when he passed, he had three churches. And so my mother's pastoring two of those churches, and I'm helping her with those, so I don't have to be on the docket all the time. So I'm there when needed. Matter of fact, one of the churches we're currently renovating, that's my home church. So it's not as hard, and I try to go and help churches grow their churches as well. So, but the church where I'm currently sister pastor at with my mom, it's pretty easy, man. It's nothing to it, you know. You be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be. You do what you're supposed to do, and we keep a tight schedule. That's how we do it. We have people that help assist with that, which is my PA. I have two PAs that help make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be, at the time I'm supposed to be. And you know, in between all that, you got to find time to study the word and make sure that's what God is wanting you to give to his people. Because you got a lot of preachers, they just preach what they want to preach. But when you connect and rooted and grounded in the Lord, you know you're not supposed to preach. You're supposed to hear the voice of the Lord. And the only way you can do that is get still and hear what he would have for you to say to his people.
Well, yeah, we're speaking to Pastor Michael Borkin and the Mighty Voices and the Supreme Angels. And speaking of Supreme Angels, you know, I know sometimes some groups, they might go their separate ways for whatever reason. Like we have like two sets of soul stirrers. And like multiple sets of keynotes and the volunteers, and now we have two sets of supreme angels. So would you tell us, if you don't mind sharing, how did that come about, the two different sets of supreme angels that's on the road now?
Well, people have their I would say own perception of how things should be run, how things should be done. And sometimes in groups and in anything, you can bump heads, you can disagree to not agree. And I think that's what came about when I was with, when I came back, and it was Big Mike, myself, and then I later on brought on Maurice Robinson. Me and Big Mike decided to bring him on, and God rest his soul, good friend of mine. But after that, when I left, I really wasn't going to do anything else. I talked with the guys, and then Greg wanted to get some things going. He wanted to go back to singing. And so I told Greg, I said, Greg, I can sing with you. And so we did what we needed to do, and we're registered with the Secretary of State. We're legitimate, the Supreme Angels. We're not no bootleg Supreme Angels. I'm a businessman, I believe, in doing things right and by the books. We file taxes, so we have an EIN number. I'll teach y'all that on another segment. But, some of the groups don't know about that stuff, but I pray the IRS never come get them. But yeah, because they made a lot of money in some of the groups. But, singing with Greg has been different this time around, because he's not the Greg Kelly I knew 20, 25 years ago. As you get older, different ailments come on. And he recently had his leg amputated. So it's a little different traveling. But he's strong-minded, he's strong-willed. And so, when he said, hey, man, let's do it, and I was like, a lot of people said, well, are you sure you're going to be able to work with Greg? But, I tell anybody this, people can change. God can take the meanest person in the world and make them the sweetest person on earth. What example we have in the good book. Look at Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, on his way to the master, beat up on the saints.
Oh, yeah.
What did he say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. So God can change anybody. He can change anybody. I just believe that in this season, we got, as we love, we also got to learn to forgive. And some people say, well, I forgive and not forget. Well, God forgive your sins. Can't you forgive somebody else? Can't you grow beyond that? It's a shame when people die and go wherever they go with that ill matters, that argument, never fixed it. Never had the chance time after time. When I see Big Mike, I love on him. I hug on him. When I see Lonnie and all the guys that used to travel in that camp, I love them. I don't have no ill malice. If they were 20 Supreme, it wouldn't make me no difference. Because the main goal, as I always tell folks, as a preacher of the gospel, our goal should be to win souls for the kingdom. If we're not doing that, we're wasting our time. We're singing to win souls and compel men and women to come and join on this side to meet and reign with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I think that's very important. I don't know if their story would be different, but that's my story. That's from my side. You know, they say they always three sides. There's that person's side, there's my side, and then there's the truth. You know, that's the fact of the matter. But that means nothing because I'm working to win souls and to do something he asked me to do, the late, great Reverend Howard Slim Hunt, and that was to carry on his legacy. And there was many people that witnessed that night when he said that. And I thought about that as well when I was talking with Greg, that I would love to pay tribute to this man. And so by doing this, I feel like I'm paying tribute to him and I'm carrying on his legacy as well.
Yes, indeed. Speaking with Pastor Michael Borkin, Pastor Michael Borkin and the Mighty Voices and also the Supreme Angels. And do you mind no sharing with us some, maybe one or two highlights from, I guess, from either or both, with your time with the Supreme Angels and all the time with the Mighty Voices? Like what is something that really stands out during your career with both groups? Is it like a certain event or something somebody might have said? Maybe your music may have touched somebody or something that you experienced or just share something that may have a long lasting effect on you.
Man, I'll tell you that would take all night to share all those highlights. I'll give you one or two the best I can. I mean, because I got a lot of good memories, man, with my years with the older guys, as I would say, with Sugar High Tower. One highlight was living in Reverend Howard Slim Hunt apartment. I stayed in one of his apartments, 201 Apartment C on Carolina Street. Slim had, a lot of people don't know, Reverend Hunt, he was a realtor before realtors were popular. He had 3-4 houses, and I lived above Sugar High Tower. I stayed across the hall from his son on Carolina Street. That was a highlight moment. Matter of fact, me and Sugar went through a hurricane together, and the wind got so bad the air conditioner we had in the window, we were trying to pull it in, it fell off the second floor. And so I've experienced, one of my highlights was being the first time I went to the Blockbuster with Reverend Hunt. That place was jam-packed. Now, back in those days, those type concerts, it would always be packed. It would sell out. Even going down to the family reunion with Glenn Stevenson and Pop Stevenson. Many highlights that I got. I got to meet many famous R&B and soul artists that love Slim. Just the whole fact, I learned the road, learned what truck stops to stop to get diesel or get gas. And then one more highlight would be the night that I got an award from the fan club of the Supreme Angels. They gave all of us trophies. And that was a highlight moment for me. Matter of fact, if you hold tight, I'll show it to you. I got it right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a trophy I got in 2001, I think it was. Greg had just left the group, and I was singing up front with Reverend Hunt. And it says, Michael Borkin, outstanding service, the Supreme Angels. And I know y'all probably can't see it, but that's what it says there. Just being with Reverend Hunt, I've got royalty checks. You know, I learned about royalty checks. I've had royalty checks from MCG off the Blind Man album, which was the first album I played. That was a highlight for me. Being on that live recording in 1999 in Danville, Virginia, we did that, the Blind Man, and that was a highlight. And I recorded with Reverend Hunt. Every live recording he did up till his death, I'm on it. He didn't do any more after I left the group. Live recordings, he did more. He did one more recording, I think, after I left the group in 2005. The last one we did was Earthling, which was that changed to Soulling. A lot of people don't know this. It was originally supposed to be Earthling. And because the Wim brothers couldn't get everything approved and they didn't want the name used for that particular album, they changed it to Soul Link. And that was Reverend Hunt and the Supreme Angels. It was Paul Porter and the Christian Nas, the Wims brothers, the Canton Spirituals, Lee Wims, the Spiritual QCs. And that moment, I'll never forget, all of us in that dressing room. Back then, Wallace was living. So many that have gone on that were living in that era that you had to be there. You could feel the love in the room. There wasn't no bickering among the quartet. And we all was in that room changing because we had different sets. And so, and then to share the stage to do people all over the world, join hands, Love Train. And all of us, you know, look now, Pastor Hunt is gone, Sugar High Tower. A lot of the ones that was on that video, some of them are gone. And, you know, I'll never forget that. That'll be a moment. You had to be there to be able to describe the feeling. So that was a highlight with some highlights with the Supreme Angels. Now, highlights with the Mighty Voices, that's big too. I've won several awards with the Mighty Voices. When I got the Mighty Voices, the awards were numerous. They're all over there on that ship. Some of them still in the box because you just can't. And Deacon Harvey Watkins told me one day, when I first started winning awards, and I would put them on the table, record table, everywhere I go. He said, he said, you keep on living, keep on singing. He said, after a while, you won't be able to put all these walls on this table. And he told the truth. I got so many till I can't put. So, you know, when I win one, it's an honor, and I'll be glad. But, you know, I have a lot of them. So winning awards with the Mighty Voices have been highlights. I want to win some more. So we're going to set some more goals out there to aim for with them. Once again, performing on the Family Reunion Fest. I've done that with the Mighty Voices. I've trailed the route that my mentor laid for me. And so I met a lot of people from presidents to mayors to congressmen to all kinds of people that I probably wouldn't have met had I not been singing gospel and doing the will of the Lord.
Oh, yeah, though. I say, listening to your mates, sound like the late Howard Slim Hunt was a businessman. So that might be, I might bring somebody on this program to, you know, talk some business, because pretty much anything I heard about him, he sounded like, I didn't know he owned real estate. Man, that's major. But he sounded like a real businessman.
I'm going to tell you a story he told me. He said he stayed out on the road back in the day And he came home. When he came home, he had enough money to cover his whole room, the bed, the floor, everything. He covered the whole room. And that's how much money they made back in the 70s and the 80s and back in that day on them, from them concerts. And I was just floored because you don't see that now. But I was amazed. So he did wise things with his money. You know, he made investment. A lot of people don't know this. He had a busing company. He would take churches. He had buses that would take churches on their trips. When they take trips, you know, back in the day, they would take you to Kerwin's and Six Flags and different places, just like our church did. Our churches took our groups and we would go different places on the buses. So he had a busing company. Red was a businessman. His company was named, his booking agency company was named TCB Bookings, Taking Care of Business. And that's the name of my booking company, Taking Care of Business.
There you go. Well, good. No, he laid down a pathway. You know, it kind of remind me of, the Dixie Hummingbirds, the late James, the founder James Davis, and anything I've heard about him, he had very, very, very strict, you know. And, you know, I think he retired somewhere in the 80s, but, you know, I watched some videos. They either Mr. Ira Tucker or James Walker, they would acknowledge that to say, there was at the point where they said, we don't need a manager anymore because he paved the way for them. You know, that sounds like what Reverend Slim had done for you guys. Like, he has, you know, paved the way, especially for you, he paved the way. And, you know, and like before, you know, Ira Tucker, you know, he was with the, before he passed, he was with the group for 70 years, and he carried on those the guidelines that Mr. James Davis had laid down, and they've been around for almost 100 years now, and so that's good that Slim laid down an example for you to follow, even with your own set of supreme managers and with your own group, the Mighty Voices. So that's good to have somebody just that you can know imitate, and then you know it works. So that's something to have.
Well, we thank God for him.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of finances, I'm sure every group don't face this. So let's say y'all go through a program, and I don't know, a dollar amount was agreed on and promoted on. Don't have all of it or don't have any at all. So how did y'all guys handle situations like that?
Well, Reverend Hunt, when I came to the group and when I left the group, his policy were, you know, business is business. And, we love the Lord because a lot of them, you know, they knew the game and they try to run that thing. Oh, you're supposed to be singing for the Lord and da-da-da. But there is a thing called business. And the Bible teaches us about business. I won't get all into a Bible study tonight. But the Bible teaches, if you read your Bible, you'll learn. The Bible talks about business and it teaches you how to do business. And bottom line, when we get to a program, if they didn't have the money, Reverend Hunt never left the house without a deposit. You never leave home without a deposit. That was just business. And sometimes even with a deposit, he wouldn't leave home. When I did my first radio anniversary, he didn't come. He was on program. He didn't come. Because I didn't send him the second half of the deposit. I couldn't be mad with him. It was business. He loved me, but he also taught me a lesson there. When you go in to do business with these artists, you have their money. And he told me later, no, I didn't come. You need to learn. When you book an artist, you're supposed to have their money up front. You don't supposed to be counting on no tickets. He taught me that. So, I did a show. It was a flop. No problem. I knew it wasn't going to be great because I really didn't promote it. But when the artist got there, I was able to take them in the back, even though some of them didn't have an EIN number. I took them in the back, set them down, I paid them their money, and I made them fill out their W-9 forms. And that's business. So when I file my taxes, I get my money back. See what I'm saying? It's a deduction for me. Because if I make more money than what I'm supposed to make, I just write it off with that. So he taught me that. With the Mighty Voices, I went, lady sent the deposit. We got down there. She didn't have no more money. Well, when I got ready to leave, the other groups, and this is why I say it's different now. I don't know. I haven't seen this since back then when I first started, like in 05, 07. Lady didn't have the money. The Racy brothers, I got to say their name. And I want to say the lady name was Lemmy Board from Louisiana, because that's the city we was in. And the lady just didn't have the money. The people was there, but sometimes, you know, you can have the people there, but the money don't be there, because what a lot of people don't understand that are not promoters, you got to pay for radio, you got to pay for that building, you got to pay for your flyers, you got to pay for runners, you got to put gas in your car to get to programs to pass out the flyer. So sometimes you spend that ticket money if you're a person that count on tickets. It's just a business 101 for y'all. If you count on that, then you're not going to have enough to pay your promoters. I mean, your groups. And so she didn't have enough. And so the Racy brothers, and I want to say her name was Lemmy Boyd, they both gave my group enough money to get back to the next city. And I called the promoter we had just come from. She put us up another night in the hotel. And she gave us enough money to get home. And not every promoter is going to do that. And I told her, I said, the craziest thing is this promoter talked about you and said, I better get every dime of my money from you because you weren't going to pay me. I said, and she was the main one that couldn't pay me to get back home. And I was in Louisiana and I live in North Carolina. So, and I had other people, children with me, because not all them boys were grown. And so, you know, but I took care of them. They can't tell you. They can't say they weren't able to wash. They can't say that they was hungry. And they can't say they didn't get back home. Because they had all that. They had a roof. They had some food. Might didn't have a whole lot of money. But, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. So we just thank God, you know. That's the way it is. Now, I ain't have to pull my pistol on them. I ain't try to go in there and shoot them and snatch the money box. I could have been that person, but I didn't want to live that life. I had to come out of that life. And I thank God that I'm saved. And that don't mean I've done everything right in my life since I've been saved, because I got saved this morning. I'm going to get saved tonight again before I go to bed. I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me and repent of my sins, as we all should do that are saved, because we don't want to go to hell. So we want to go to heaven and reign with the Lord. So we make sure that we do that. And sometimes we miss it, but I'll tell you what, I'll be on it when I think about it. I'll tell you that.
Well, oh, yeah, speaking of guns, were there a lot of orders on the road, toting guns? I've been hearing, you know, stories from the old timers used to, you know, I guess they carry guns for whatever reason. Putting our names or whatever. Have you known of all this, you know, carrying guns, put them on programs?
Yeah, I don't mind putting their name on there, because they wouldn't be ashamed to put it out there. When I was a little boy, I was with my quartet group called the Gospel Stars. We were little boys. They would love to see us come. Me and my best friend would jump around, jump off stage, and I guess entertain the people good, whatever. Whatever we was taught back then, because we didn't know. And so we was getting dressed. Willie Banks came in the room. He had a briefcase. I've never seen this. And he opened his briefcase. He had a pile of money and a pistol sitting on top. And he saw us little boys looking. He shut it down real quick and went over to the other side. I've seen a lot of guys, you know, I think they were just protecting themselves. I don't think they were going to hurt nobody. I think the idea was, you know, they've been out there on that highway late at night. The cops are mean. You know, not all cops are nice. You know, we got some nice officers in my hometown. I'm very good friends with chief of police. I know him very well. And matter of fact, our chief, his brother owned the radio station. So, you know, we're a small city, so we're real tight knit. Most of the police officers know each other. But back in that day, you got to think, man. Sorry about that. Somebody calling my phone. They just didn't care. And so these guys, I think they had the right to carry those guns. And I think sometimes through the rough seasons, you know, they got title promoters not holding to their obligation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That's just what I believe.
Yeah. That do make sense, though. Especially the era that they came up in. And you know, I guess that's kind of extreme, but you know, I guess they want to get paid. I guess they had to do what they felt they had to do at that time. You know, it's a shame we got to do that. You know, for a gospel program, but you know, like you said, not everybody, you know, on up and up. You know, that's unfortunate.
And they had, you know, they had bills. That was their livelihood. That's how they fed their family, you know. And I can understand from I understand it from all aspects because I play all roles. I play the radio announcer role. I play the promoter role. I play the artist role. I serve as president of organizations. So I see it from all angles. And so I think it's a thing where everybody must come to a reasoning. But, you know, as a promoter, I try my best to have the artist funds. And sometimes things happen. Now, as a promoter, I can vouch for these promoters. Sometimes, man, you have stuff to come up and you got to take care of it. And it takes away from that money. Because I rolled last week, man. You're talking about $100 in gas going from city to city, running that car. I got to have an oil change. That was $100-some-odd. Have my tires rotated. That had to come out of that money, that concert money. It ain't coming out of my house money. I got to promote to get you here. And see, I think it's a medium now where we as the artists, we got to start helping the promoter. We need to be posting the flyers. We need to be telling our fans, you know, we're coming to the city. You know, help where we can. Stop being so big because... See, really, if the truth be told, we're trying to be like those on the R&B side, and we're nowhere near gracing the surface of where they are. And, you know, a lot of times, and then we jack these prices up, and people can't afford that stuff. So, you know, you deal with a lot of different things in this industry where people that don't understand business try to take what they see on TV and turn it into reality, and it don't quite work that way, and they just don't know. So they learn real quick, you know, over here. Sometimes you ain't gonna get your money if you don't ask for, ask for it in the beginning. Like some groups I booked on this anniversary, they needed 90%, not 50%, 90% of their money. When they get here, they're only getting 10%. Which I just, at that point, I just go and give it all to them.
Yeah, well.
You know what I mean? You're picking up the 10%. You know?
Yeah. It's funny you said something about R&B was kind of want me to segue to the next question here. So, as far as Quartet is concerned, how what the direction you see it going now? Because let me tell you something. I think of the Blind Boys of Alabama. You know what? You know, you see, man, they on these big major stages. You know, I think they was on The View not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't. Sometimes I sit back and think. I know others, you know, really pushing or the Quartets. I don't see I don't see nothing wrong, you know, seeing some quartets on that big of a stage. You know, just turn on Super Bowl, you see the Supreme Manners or Dr. McKenzie or the Rare McFadden doing a Super Bowl. I mean, what do you think it take for the quartets getting that level of the blind? But I think they're a good example. The Blind Boys of Alabama, they not just doing churches and stuff. They like doing stadiums, all overseas and things of that nature. So I don't see why can't the other quartets fall in that footstep. So what do you think it take for, you know, your two groups and the Dr. McKenzie and the Kansas Spirituals to hit that level? I don't see nothing wrong turning on Fox and seeing the Mighty Voices, Kansas Spirituals. That shouldn't be too far-fetched.
Well, I think, you know, and sometimes I blame myself for not doing more. I think it's more about stepping outside of the box. I think we've been in a box of just wanting to be in our little arena. And I think now it's time. I think it's time for us to build new relationships. And I think it's time for those that are serving in a position to be held accountable for that position. So if you're the manager or PR, if you're the social media person, be held accountable for that role and make sure that they're doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. And even in that, I think that, you know, as we need to be educated. I don't think it's, I think that it's good to have people that know it, but I think we as the artists need to be in the room when these gurus come in and they say, this is the way this works, this is the way that works, this how this gonna work, this how that's gonna work. And or this, say for instance, if somebody come from the R&B side and say, well, we wanna help y'all, then I think it should be a thing where we as the artists be in the room to get those tidbits and cut back to our team to figure out how to implement this into taking our group to the next level.
Yes, sir. Speaking with Pastor Michael Boykin of the Michael Boykin and the Mighty Voices and the Supreme Angels. So for that, yeah, put the phone on charge there. Yeah, before we get out of here, I want you to give an opportunity. How can people book either group, the Mighty Voices or the Supreme Angels? And also, Joe, you have any projects that may be coming up you want to share with the folks?
May 7th, the night of the recording, we will be, the night of our anniversary, we will be doing a live recording. And so I think some of the songs that we did in the earlier years didn't get put on a live recording. So we going back, we're going to do a few songs. We're not doing many songs. And then we also, you can go to the social media sites and get our projects. And also you can reach out to us at themightyvoices@gmail.com or go to my record label, Versatile, VersaTile, Music Group, Inc.com. Versatile Music Group, Inc.com. And you can get music from there. All social media sites. So, and also at any of our concerts. If you ever at a concert, you can get our music there. Mighty Voices, Supreme Angels. That's how you can get our music. How you can book us, you can call 410-597-4378. That's one of my mother's number. They both just alike almost. And or 910-261-7115. And we'll put you in contact with who you need to talk to to book us on your next event. Please book us. We would love to come and minister at your next event and have a good time in the Lord.
Oh, yes. I hope y'all got that. Be sure to book either Supreme Angels and or Pastor Michael Balkin and the Mighty Voices. Pastor, I do appreciate you. I know you're a very busy man, but I thank you for taking the time out to do this interview, and I really do appreciate you. Anybody that's listening, however you listen, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And thank you, Pastor, for being a part of this interview. And again, thank you all for listening. And I hope you all got something out of it. And until next time, y'all, God bless you.